This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
10 after 3, our guest this afternoon is Hillsboro Mayor Brian Sullivan. First, nice to see you again, Brian.
Hey, thanks for having me in. What a beautiful day.
Oh, yes, I know. It is just gorgeous, and finally, it's about time we have nice weather like this. Brian is in today. We wanted to talk about a number of things. There's so much going on, not only in Hillsboro, but the whole area, and Brian, of course, is, as mayor of Hillsboro, is a good spokesman for some of the things that are happening right now. And the main thing that we wanted to talk about is everything, because there's about 9 different areas that there's upgrades and changes that are going on over in the city. Exciting time right now.
Oh, it's awesome. And you know, this is one of those times where it's so wonderful to be mayor, because I got all this help. There's all these volunteers, and we got committees that are active, and it's just easy to get things done. Our council works together, and it's just a pleasure to do the public service right now with everybody working on the same direction.
And like you say, you got great ancillary groups like Imagine Hillsboro and others that are just making sure that everything gets done. The big thing, I think, going on right now we want to talk about, since the last time we talked, what's happening with the Eagles Inc. cleanup. That's been going on for a while.
Yep, that Eagles Inc. Cleanup site, we're excited about that. It's you know, was kind of an eyesore out there for many years. And when it got Superfund funding, you know, they started cleaning it up. And we're in our second year, and they're anticipating it'll be done by November of 19. And so the thing is that's going to be a perfectly positioned lot to redevelop right there, kind of on the edge of town. It's got railroad tracks on one side, the water plant on the other side, with both finished and raw water, highway access, and it's going to be a nice location to attract a large employer, I'm hoping.
That would be terrific. Have you got room for a small industrial park there, or is there not quite enough room to...
There's more there than you think. There's 120 acres total right there, and after they do the containment cell, there's going to be about 110 acres usable.
Okay.
So there's a lot of room to develop.
Oh, that sounds great. But there's another site being cleaned up now, and Ameren is working on one, right?
Yeah, correct. I just met with the Ameren representatives this morning. We're very happy. This has been a long process also, and Ameren did not create the problem. It was the gas manufacturing plant was built in 1913. Southern Illinois Power built it back in the day. And, you know, like anything that's 100 years old, it's degraded over time. And unfortunately, the coal tar and all the contaminants that are there have leached into the ground. It is considered a carcinogen if people were to drink water that was contaminated. Luckily, this is not any threat to our water supply. But, you know, it from Southern Illinois Power, it went to CFPS and Illinois Power, and now Ameren. And Ameren, you know, happy to say they're stepping up and cleaning it up.
And I'm sure this is not the only one that they're having to do around.
No. Yeah, actually, I think they're doing one in Litchfield right now, too. There's quite a few of these around the area. Back in the day, you know, this is the transition period, the turn of the century, when people quit burning wood, quit burning coal. Gas was a huge improvement to, you know, the society in those days, and that's where the term cooking with gas came from.
I believe that.
And then the ice plant's right next to it, and what I found out this morning, the reason the ice plant was built next to it was because ammonia was a byproduct of this manufacturing. They used it for the refrigeration, so it was natural for it to be right there.
Yeah, and you know, that building's pretty attractive. I don't know what's inside it, but it looks nice over there.
That's one of my star developers in town. That's Tony Marcolini's
right?
Place of business now, the ice plant, and he's doing a lot of good things in town.
You know, it used to be when the word tax increment financing and enterprise zones came out, it used to be you only heard it associated with big real estate developers, big commercial real estate developers, people who wanted to build you know, outlet malls and big malls and stuff. But now it seems like everybody has an opportunity to take advantage of that tax increment financing, and it's having its benefit up and down Main Street.
Well, and as a businessman for many years, third generation, you know, I realized that I was seeing competitors using TIF, and, you know, it seemed unfair that it was never offered to us when we did anything. And so, you know, I made a real effort that after I became mayor to educate our business community, both through the Chamber of Commerce and through different events that I speak at, invite them in, and I'll help them. You know, if they have a project going on that's going to create jobs, it's going to stop a building from ultimate collapse, or there's all kind of different things that qualify a project for TIF. And most people just didn't know what it was or how to do it. And so by just talking to business owners, it's amazing what we've got done in a short period of time.
Well, just looking up and down Main Street, you can tell whether it's the Red Rooster redevelopment right now, whether it's the Opera House, everything up and down Main Street. We were talking earlier, you said when you took over as mayor, there were 16 empty buildings. And there are none. They're working on all of them right now.
Right, correct. We have approximately 65 total number of buildings on our main street, the main drag there. And I went through and counted them, and there were 16 empty storefronts. And out of those, six of them were in such bad disrepair that we thought they might actually have to be taken down. And over doing some of these different projects and working with some of the developers and doing some TIF deals with them, it allowed them to go in and save, not only save the buildings, but get them back on the market, get them on the tax rolls, and get businesses in there generating revenue and jobs.
One of the things, if somebody's driving through Hillsboro, going downtown, maybe they're going to a movie or have to go to the courthouse for something and they haven't been in Hillsboro for a while, they're coming up from the south and they look to the right, they see this nice building, it's got this nice arch and it says Opera House. That's one of those really starred projects that you're talking about right there.
Absolutely. It's kind of a segue from our talk earlier about the ice plant. That's Tony Marcolini and Jeremy Schmidt, of course, their wives and families. And they have taken that on as a passion. They have applied for some facade improvement funds, and they're going in and redeveloping that building and making it look the way it did back in the day when it was an opera house. And they're restoring the – it was an Oddfellows meeting hall at one time, too, and the concrete is still there, although it's chipped, and he's redoing all that, just put in some new windows, and going to be a microbrewery when it's done. So we're really excited about that, too, to have a first microbrewery in the area.
Yeah. Before my time, that Mormino building, which was at one time a fruit market, a vegetable market, and it had fallen into terrible disrepair, and what – the pictures that I've seen of how that's been redone have been remarkable.
That's another example. That was one of the six buildings that was caving in. The roof had completely caved in. The second floor, the back end had caved in, and the back wall was collapsing. And it's literally just next door to City Hall. So we were able to get a hold. Brian Lee actually approached the city and said, you know, there's no way I can buy that building and put the money it's going to take into it and have an asset that the bank will loan the correct amount of money on to fix it. And, you know, so we came up with a TIF plan for that building as well. And from the city standpoint, it makes sense because if we let those buildings stay in neglect, eventually they become abandoned. Nobody owns them. Nobody insures them. And when they fall down, the city's responsible to clean those up. And the last one we cleaned up was the bank building where the Lincoln statue sits now. Mm-hmm. It was over $100,000 to clean that up once it collapsed. That doesn't include the rebuilding of the stage and the concrete and everything in the Lincoln statue. That's just to clean the building up from not being a hazard. So it really made sense, and I believe, if memory serves me right, we made a deal for $9,000 to fix the roof on that Mormino building, and he did all the rest. And now we have a business in the base floor, which is a photography studio, and upstairs there's an apartment. So there again, that building's back on the tax rolls, and it's not going to fall down.
It's a beautiful, beautiful building. Also, big work going on in the Red Rooster.
Well, that's one of my biggest accomplishments of the last year, and Kendra and John Wright, and they actually came to me when all the other things started happening on Main Street and said, we really want to help the city of Hillsboro. And Kendra, for those of you that don't know, is Mike Niehaus's daughter.
Right.
Very good connection to the radio station and to Hillsboro. And they generously came and said, you know, what can we do that would make the biggest impact to help Hillsboro? We love what we're seeing happening, and we want to help. And so I showed them two buildings, the Red Rooster and what I refer to as Lynch Building across from the new bank. And both of them were projects that are going to take a lot of undertaking and a lot of love. And they chose to go with the Rooster. And I am so excited about that project because we, for years, have not had any place that was an inn where somebody could come and stay the night, the week, the month. If they were working in the area, everybody had to go to Litchfield to stay the night. Now we're going to have the opportunity. If somebody wants to come in, there's going to be rooms available, and there will be some longer-term housing there, but we're actually going to have a place where people can stay in town.
That's awesome. Well, you know, you have some very nice restaurants in Hillsboro, and it'd be nice to draw people in to go to any one of them or more than one and hang around and, like you say, have a place to stay. So the Rooster... the way they're lifting the porch and they're at New Door and all the work that they're doing is really exciting to watch.
Yeah, they're going to do it right. It's going to be a beautiful landmark when they're done.
The Sherman Building is another building that was another one we were really fearful for a long time.
Oh, that building has been a love from all the citizens, and that was actually the first building that people gathered together to try to raise funds to save it. Jerry Joswiak, I believe is how you pronounce his name. He's not from Hillsboro, but he did buy the building. He's been, you know, working on it at a slower pace because he does it himself, and it's a huge project. But he has repaired the flat roof. For people that know the building, there's a large barn-style roof, and then there's a flat roof that connects to the movie theater. And that flat roof had caved in, and that was one of the other six of the building that we thought we were going to lose. The first thing he did was come in and make a TIF deal on that, and I believe the roof was in excess of $40,000 to replace it. And the other thing it did was ensure that we're not going to damage the movie theater if something, because that's a big
asset. Which is another gorgeous building, too.
Oh, and I mean, it draws in so many people, and it's just so nice to go up there in the evening on a Friday and Saturday night and see the restaurants are busy, the movie theater's busy. Main Street is almost more crowded at night on the weekend than it is during the day during the week. So it's really everything working together. We have a bars with bands that play and nightlife, and, you know, we're getting to the point where people are coming to town for the entertainment.
That's a wonderful thing. Brian Sullivan, mayor of Hillsboro, is our guest. We'll be back and have more with Brian coming up in just a couple of minutes. Our guest is Brian Sullivan, mayor of Hillsboro, of course, part owner of Sullivan Drugs in Hillsboro and Litchfield. And I guess I'm giving you the right credit there, aren't I?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. It's family business.
That's it. And also, a big booster of TIF money and making these buildings look really good. But there's other things going on that we don't necessarily see, part of the infrastructure that are every bit as important. And that is the water plants made a change recently.
Yeah, the water plant, we've had some water issues over the years, and it's partly due to the way we collect our water. It's surface water off of Glen Shoals Lake, and surface water has a tendency to change. So it's different in the wintertime. In the summertime, there's algae. There's runoff from fields. When it rains, it gets, you know, muddier. It's a constantly changing target to treat. And so, you know, it's been we built a state-of-the-art water plant, and we've been constantly trying to improve the water for the last decade or so. And, you know, recently we had some negative press on Channel 5, and we just, as a council, decided it's time to, you know, identify whatever's going on and fix it. And so we basically went out and we started, you know, talking to other towns, seeing what's going on, what's working, what's not working. And we tried to hire the best company we could find that could not only run the water plant day to day and make good water, but also identify ways we can improve. And so we hired Woodard & Curran. They're a company that has made some inroads in Illinois and Missouri. Recently, Carlinville started using them also, and they're also doing St. Charles and some other reasonably local municipalities. And, you know, what they offer is another layer above our regular employees. So our regular employees are great. They do the best they can with what they have. But this company is an engineering firm that, you know, when there comes questions about, you know, changes in the water chemically, they have a lab that they can send things to that They can make suggestions about different changes in the treatment of how we treat the water to improve clarity, taste, odor, anything that would come up, there is a fix for it. So, and then the other thing they offer is we have aging pipes. And by being an engineering company, they can help us identify the best bang for our buck. If there's a main that could really improve a neighborhood, they can show us, let's do this area. And then they also will go on to help us write grants to help get money to help us fund for those fixes. So it's a whole package where, you know, before we had our in-house employees and, you know, we were reactive. Whenever there was a problem, we would try to fix it. This is more of a proactive approach to try to eliminate the problems before they happen and then get a 5-year, 10-year, 20-year plan where we're headed.
And, you know, in our society today and in our connection between our local government and state and federal governments, the ability to write grant requests is about as important as the ability to flush a water hydrant, because that money's available, and if you do it without that money, you can't get it later. You know, it's got to be, you have to know what you're doing, and you have to apply for it.
Well, it's so competitive because almost all the infrastructure was put in about the same time, about 100 years ago.
Oh, sure.
So it's all failing at the same time, and all the towns are applying for the same grants with the same basic problems and the same issues that they're, you know, issues of need that they're putting in their grants. So you really need something to make you stand out. You need professional grant writers that can help you do it correctly. And you know, that's what we're looking for is help with all these things. And, you know, we're not at the bottom of the pile anymore. We want to be at the top of the pile when they start looking at handing out the grants.
Of course. By having this change with this company to oversee, you said all of the city employees still remained, but there was just another level of administration to make sure that it was the most efficient way it could be.
Right. The city employees, they will transition in with Woodard and Curran. We can't force them to, but most all of them have indicated that they want to stay with their job, and their pay remains the same and that sort of thing. They, you know, for various reasons, they need to be employed by that company, so they're responsible to that company. And,
sure.
And, you know, everything that goes with that. But with that, they also receive a different level of training. And because this company, I believe they have 37 different municipalities that they treat water for, there's opportunities for our employees now that they didn't have as far as advancements in their career. They can go on and get higher levels of licensing, and there's job opportunities now. They don't have to wait for a supervisor to retire after 20 years. There might be an opening somewhere else they can move into right away.
Oh, sure. Okay. The other thing that's going on that we don't really see and yet is an exciting thing coming, and that is the CTI Internet build-out that's coming.
Yeah, CTI is one of those things that was definitely an effort by a lot of people. Imagine Hillsboro had a piece of it to do with it, a big piece. The MCEDC, the Economic Development Corporation for the county, Valerie Blesko, way back, Heather Hampton Nodal, when she
sure.
was still on the county board, actually got it started, and she was very instrumental in continuing through, even though she wasn't remaining on the county board. There was just I hate to name names because they always forget somebody, but there was a whole line of people that were involved with this process. And when it came time to basically compete for where they were going to go next, they built out Taylorville, and what they offer is gigabyte service to every residence and business in the town. And what that is 1,000 up and 1,000 down. So we have nothing close to that available at any price right now other than a very expensive fiber optic line being run custom. So what they're going to do is build this out, and, you know, the businesses will have it and the residences will have it. And, you know, there was a saying that, you know, back in the 1800s, people built around rail. And then, you know, later on in the 1900s, people built around the interstate. And now a lot of people are going to, you know, flock to places where there's good Internet service because Internet business is the next thing. You know,
certainly.
We see Amazon growing. People can sell out of their houses, you know, and eBay and all those kind of things can be done now from anywhere that there's good, reliable Internet.
That's true. And work from home for a lot of corporations.
And my brother-in-law is a good example of that. He's a doctor, and he also does telemedicine, and he needs a very good internet connection for both video and audio. And, he's very jealous. Hillsboro's only going to be the 7th gigabyte city in Illinois once it's built out.
That's pretty amazing. Any way you look at it, that's pretty darned amazing. Brian Sullivan, our guest, talking about all the things going on in Hillsboro. There are so many things, and they all have come about basically in a very short period of time. Just a lot of things really came together. We're going to talk about something coming up called the UCAN, or the Unified Child Advocacy Network. That's when we return in just a couple of minutes. The UCAN, or the Unified Child Advocacy Network, is going to open an office in Montgomery County. This is something that there is an opportunity to help an awful lot of people.
Well, yeah, I was approached about a year and a half ago, and myself and Deanna DiMuzio and Kim Noyes formed the original board to develop UCAN from scratch. And it's to serve 5 counties. It was Macoupin, Montgomery, Greene, Calhoun, and Jersey County. And in the original grant process, we got grant money to open an office in Jerseyville, and then we reapplied and got money to open an office in Carlinville. And now we've come to the next cycle, and we've got some money to help open an office in Hillsboro. So, it spreads out over those counties pretty well when we look at the numbers. And what UCAN does, it's child advocacy specifically for children who have been either physically or sexually abused. And what happens is when law enforcement or DCFS comes in, they've been alerted to a problem. They bring the child in for an interview, and you're dealing with often a very young child that doesn't quite understand what's going on, and they're afraid. So they have a facility that's in colors that are soothing to children. There's rooms that are set up specifically for children of certain ages. And then there's specially trained interviewers that come in, and they ask questions in a way that is admissible in court, but it doesn't traumatize the child. And it's all recorded, and it's under supervision of law enforcement and DCFS when the interviews are happening. And then those recorded interviews are admissible as evidence, so the child doesn't have to repeatedly tell their story and be re-traumatized over and over again. So what we're finding out is that to have an incident in Montgomery County, say, and have to take that child to Springfield or Jacksonville, it's a long drive. So, and there's a whole set of problems with that because a lot of times the parents are not involved. It's somebody else. Maybe the parents don't have transportation to take the child that far. The child, isn't going to be allowed to ride alone with a officer for that distance. So, the longer that it is between the reported case and the interview, the more chance there is for the child to forget or change their story or be coached into saying,
sure,
don't tell. So, we want to get that interview done as quickly as possible, as accurately as possible. And then the other thing is, afterwards, that child is offered counseling services that are also paid for through the grant. So it opens up a whole window to help that child heal. So it's a great asset, and we've never had it in Montgomery County in the history of child advocacy. So we're very happy to see it happening. The office should be going in on Wood Street there, right behind the Opera House Brewery.
And oh, okay.
There's an office back there, and that's where we're anticipating that the office is going to be located.
The opportunity to have this office and for it to be the third one in the area, and I understand how that's going to shorten that distance and solve a lot of those problems. But also, it covers that 5-county area very well now, finally, whereas before it hadn't done it. How long has it been since you've been working on getting this office for Hillsboro?
Well, for me, it's been since day one. But before the board, it's probably been about a 6-month labor to get the funding. The way that it works is we're going to have, and we have received donations to do the initial build-out, buy the recording equipment, all that kind of thing. the grant will cover all the funding to pay the rent and the phone and utilities and the staff to work it once we have the actual office set up. So the 708 board, Montgomery County, I want to give them kudos. They stepped up. They've made a large commitment to make this happen just in the last week. And then we've received some very large donations, Hillsborough Hospital, Crime Stoppers, individuals that asked not to be named, St. Agnes Church, and then some other donations from other counties. We try to keep the money from each county in that county where it was received. So right now all the money coming from Montgomery County is going toward this new office.
Well, that's wonderful. Have you got a time that you expect to have this office open?
Well, I've actually stepped down as the president, so there's a new president that just took over. My commitment was for a year, and I actually stayed on for a year and a half. So it's going to be up to the new board exactly when it will open, but we were anticipating 1 to 2 months, so we're really hoping to see that final build-out soon.
Let's talk, Brian, about the North Marina Handicap Accessible Dock. Tell me what's going on there.
That's another project that's been in the making for quite some time. A group started collecting money quite a few years ago, you know, dedicated strictly for that project. And it came from, you know, families that had some handicapped kids and then relatives that would enjoy to access the lake. And with the hills being so steep at some parts of the lake, very difficult to get anybody to the water or definitely on and off of a boat. So the idea came about that, you know, if we could develop a dock that would serve two purposes, it'd be a fishing pier with special railing and everything that's custom made so someone in a wheelchair could fish, and then also have access to boats from that same dock, and then have it in a way that the cars could park safely and it would be accessible without a big incline. So the whole project has developed into kind of a multi-stage area where we're doing the dock that was originally donations were collected for that. And then we're also building a pavilion that's going to be handicap accessible between the parking area and the dock and handicap accessible parking. And then we're redeveloping the bathrooms on that marina to be handicap accessible also. And then we're also doing a children's fishing pond off to the side where we used to have an incubator pond where they hatched fish. So it'll be a nice area where able-bodied or handicapped individuals could go enjoy it.
Oh, that's wonderful. That was a big project then.
It's turned into quite a big project. I believe the money that was collected was around $14,000. I think we're up around $100,000 on the whole project. But it's such a good project, and it's so needed in the area. We have handicapped people that come out and enjoy the lake, but it's so difficult for them to get to the spots they want to get to, and this will just make the whole thing easier.
Oh, that's just wonderful. Back to downtown a little bit, all the things going on down there. One of the big things that I thought that was, well, it was almost kind of like the impetus that got everything going was the building of the new bank, which is such a beautiful edifice downtown. You mentioned the plaza with the Lincoln statue. That is such a beautiful thing. And I know on my picture on my desktop is that gorgeous picture looking at the statue and then the courthouse behind it at night. And it's just so beautiful downtown. I can understand why you say that more people are down there. How has all these changes, have you had to expand the number of employees in the city? How police, the fire, all those things are, have they expanded? Are they still pretty much in the same numbers that they were before?
A need and a want are two different things.
Oh, sure, of course.
We would love to expand and hire more people, but unfortunately, we've also not raised taxes during this time. Not unfortunately, but it's fortunately we didn't raise the taxes, but it's unfortunate that we don't have a lot of extra money to hire more people. But another thing I've been very cognizant about was to try to keep taxes under control. Also to not, we haven't raised the water rates, and we don't intend to raise the water rates. With everything we're doing, everything is being designed to stay within our budget, but still improve services, improve everything that's going on. So we're doing more with the same. So
that's amazing that you're able to do that. Well, it's such a big project, and all these projects are going on at the same time. It becomes, well, if you have 12 small projects going, it becomes one very large project. And somebody has to oversee it all. And you've been, I think, been doing a pretty terrific job of that. With all the things going on, with all the improvements going on, you can still get around the city. The roads, I guess right now the big job is fixing potholes and things like that for your street department.
Yeah, the roads are always a challenge after the winter, and we do have one street that's closed that we're still going to work on here as soon as the weather warms up and it quits raining. We have one street closure that has been a longer-term situation, but that's going to resolve itself here in the next month or so. And, you know, it's just the same thing all the other towns are dealing with right now. The streets during the freezing and thawing, you know, they tend to have problems this time of year, and then all the moisture that comes right after that. So we're actively working to fix all that, and then we'll go into the next phase, which is the grading things and then oil and chipping and sealing them for the next winter, and that's all being planned right now too. So
all of the handicapped accessible intersections that you guys have worked on look nice. That was a big improvement.
Yeah, that was a project, and I want to come back to Main Street too, that we have a ITEP grant in right now that I was hoping to hear about it before I came on the air today, and I still haven't heard back if we received it or not, but it's another one that we will redo all the handicap ramps on Main Street, and it'll also lend it to redo all the infrastructure, water lines, sewer lines, storm sewers, and redo the sidewalks and the streetscape. And so what we're seeing is some of these buildings, we forgot to mention a couple of new businesses, too, that I thought of when we were off the air. Gold Pan Record just went in.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, a place you can go buy old vinyl records. And then he also put in a recording studio. So now we have access for local musicians, and even some bigger names are coming in that are recording there. Devin Roney is one of the millennials that has moved away and moved back and fixed up that building, and they live upstairs with he and his family. And, you know, it's so exciting. One of the biggest exciting things is to see these kids coming back.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, all the people we mentioned, the Reynolds that are doing the Black Rabbit Coffee, Maroney's, Lee's, those are all millennial families that have located back on Main Street, and they like to be able to walk wherever they're going, be able to buy anything within foot distance, and, you know, we're just seeing more and more of that with these young, and the young people are the future. That's what I want to see, is these kids coming back, and they're fixing these upstairs of these buildings they're buying into something like you'd see in New York or Nashville. They're beautiful.
I'd say so. Brian Sullivan's been our guest. Brian, anything in the next minute or so you'd like to add that I haven't talked about today?
Well, my neighbor right next to the drugstore, Derek Chesser, just opened a gun store that they've got a great inventory. I was just over there yesterday, so anybody that's interested in guns, it's Our Second Pride is the name of the store. It's in Jordan Sign Building. I'm trying to think of any other businesses that have just opened up. I hope I didn't miss any, but you know, part of my job here is to get people to come look at around Hillsboro, and there's some new businesses that people probably haven't been to yet.
You bet. Well, anytime you got something you want to make sure we know about, don't be shy about letting me know, okay?
Well, thanks for having me.